The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, the angel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at what this greeting meant and wondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. She is already in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Every season has its teaching, and every moment has its grace. It's a time of peace. We celebrate the birth of the Prince of Peace. Perhaps that prompted a discussion in our liturgy gathering to prepare for this season, in which Father Dennis and I were asked to dedicate our homilies today on the theme of reconciliation. Perhaps reconciliation is part of the grace or the teaching of the moment. So allow me to claim this homily time to speak about the grace, the teaching, the opportunity, the summons to experience reconciliation in our lives. I thank Father Ronald Rollheiser for introducing me to the book called The Secret by René Fumelot. René Fumelot was an oblate priest who ministered to a remote tribe of or collection of people, of indigenous people in the northern part of Canada, called the Dene people. And in this book, he has one rather interesting reflection, whereas he remembers gathering with some of the elders of the Dene people, and he asked them, "What would you think is the greatest sin that could take place in your community?" Well, they went off and reflected on this, and after some time of discussion and reflection on this question, they returned to Father René, and they said, "We have decided that the greatest sin in our community would be to lock your door. To lock your door is the greatest sin. It appears in the community there, the people's doors were always open. People were welcome into one another's homes. So to lock your door had enormous significance in a community of hospitality. The metaphor is very powerful and very strong. What does this mean to us? It means in some divine providence, we are meant for community. We are bonded somehow in our very nature, in the likeness of God. We are bonded into a deep yearning to belong to a community. Therefore, in this time of the virus, one of the biggest challenges we have, the greatest sacrifices we have, is to be separated. Whether that be children in school that need to belong to one another, or elderly persons isolated in facilities, or people dying in the hospital who cannot be touched and loved and feel this sense of connection. We are born to belong. And therefore, the greatest sins, following this metaphor, are sins that have to do with relationship. Sin is not breaking a law. Sin is wounding a relationship. Anger, greed, jealousy, excessive control, abusing people through certainty, dividing people. These are the great sins of our time. They break a family, they break a community, they even break a church. The sins, therefore, the sin of betrayal, of lying, of cheating, all have to do with relationships. They do not have to do with law. You can keep laws, but the real sin has to do with relationships. Reconciliation is a grace given only to those who can see and own their own sins. Those of us who can look deep inside and see our own poverty, our own brokenness, our own failures, only then are we empowered through reconciliation to extend to others the grace of hospitality. 30 years ago or more, in this parish of Holy Family, the mantra became, "All are welcome." We choose the song to be a description of the spirit, the community, the heart of Holy Family. And that happened because a pastor way back then became very conscious of his own sins and therefore empowered not to make judgments about others, but to welcome others, to know that we all share a common humanity. I've often wondered about the church. If we could face our sins and own our sins in the church, perhaps we would not be tempted toward righteous judgment or separating or expelling people. We will find reconciliation by looking deep inside ourselves to find our own poverty and therefore to meet other people in the same condition. That's what reconciliation means. I remember 30 years ago or so reading Solzhenitsyn, The Gulag Archipelago, an extraordinary, lengthy, challenging read about his time in the labor camp at the Gulag. And in this, one particular awareness struck me and stayed with me all through the years, in which Solzhenitsyn says this, speaking about his time in the labor camp, "It was granted to me to carry away from my prison years on my bent back, which nearly broke beneath its load, this essential experience of being human. In the intoxication of my youthful success, I had felt myself to be infallible, and I was therefore cruel. In my most evil moments, I was convinced that I was doing good, and I was well supplied with systematic arguments. It was only when I lay there on rotting prison straw that I sensed within myself the first stirrings of good." We must fail, and we must accept our failures. That is why I turn back to my years of imprisonment and say, sometimes to the astonishment of those about me, "Bless you, prison. I have served enough time there. I nourished my soul there. And I say without hesitation, bless you, prison, for having given me life." Somehow, the grace of reconciliation comes to us in our awareness of humanity. Our humanity empowers us to see the humanity in others. Some years ago, I was traveling in the Sinai Desert down to the Sinai Peninsula to visit Mount Sinai, where Moses got the commandments. In the journey, I got to speak and learn with the Bedouin people. They're nomadic desert people. Their culture is very ancient, it's like 4,500 years. They have an extraordinary law of the desert. As they share, all, each and every one of them shares the harsh realities of desert life. Whereas a stranger can come to a Bedouin settlement or village and will be received there in generous hospitality, nobody will question who they are, where they're going, or what their mission is. They will be blessed with hospitality, openness, without question, and without limit. It's very biblical, of course. After 3 days, only then will they begin a conversation. How can we assist you on your journey, or where are you going, or what are you seeking? This law of the desert, so to speak, comes because they share this common experience of hardship. Biblically, you'll find this. Go back and read the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 21, where God speaks to the people of Israel and said, "Do not mistreat or oppress the foreigner. For remember, you too were foreigners once in the land of Egypt." or look at the book of Leviticus, the book of law in the Torah, in chapter 19 of Leviticus, it says, you must love the foreigner as you love yourself, because you too were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. It's so essentially human and so essentially Christ-like, finding its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. What does this mean to us in terms of our disposition toward the foreigner, or our disposition toward others within our community from whom we are separated? In 1492, in Ireland, that's an easy year to remember in our tradition here, 1492 in Ireland, there was a feud between two families, the Butler family of Ormond and the Fitzgeralds of Kildare. And their feud was based on from which family the Lord Deputy of Ireland should be chosen. Well, the feud grew and the hostility magnified, and they were involved in a battle, kind of a skirmish. And the Fitzgeralds were winning, and therefore the Butlers retreated, and they went to Dublin, and they went into the Charter House at the Cathedral, St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin, and they were holed up there, and the Fitzgeralds came and surrounded the place. And the leader of the Fitzgerald family, Gerald Fitzgerald, called out to them to come out and make peace. But the Butlers feared for their lives, that if they came out, they would be slaughtered by the Fitzgerald clan. They refused to come out. So Gerald Butler had his soldiers make a hole in the door of the Charter House. And after they made the hole, he stretched his hand through the hole, his entire arm, in a gesture of peace and reconciliation. Meantime, the Butlers inside saw the sincerity of the gesture. If he was willing to chance it this much, he must be sincere. And they took his hand, and they came out, and the families made peace. If you go to Dublin today, and you go to St. Patrick's Cathedral, you can still see the door with a hole in it. It's called the Door of Reconciliation. And the powerful teaching of this is, who is noble enough to take a chance? Who is courageous enough to make the first move? Who is humble enough to reach out in a gesture of reconciliation? That may be the greatest gift which we can share with anybody in this time of the year, a time of gifting. So keep that in mind. The power of the Holy Spirit calls us to be reconciled with our own humanity, to make peace with ourselves, to accept ourselves as sinful and broken people, to know the infinite love of God for us in our weakest and most impoverished times, and thereby to be empowered to honor and respect and welcome the humanity of others. That's the teaching of these days. So wherever you are, If you're carrying a burden, if you experience a division, every season has its teaching, and every moment has its grace. Amen.